Thank you all very much. That was wonderful. Abby, you did a good job. At this time, we'd like to ask our... I didn't promise her I wouldn't do that, so we're good. I should not be in trouble. We'll ask our children to come forward for our children's moment. How are you all doing this morning? All right, William had the bag for us. Let's see what... William always has something interesting. Let's see what he has for us today in the bag. What in the world is this? A portable charger. Oh, for phones and stuff? Oh, okay. Well, I'm going to keep this. Is that all right? No? Oh, okay. All right. So what does a portable charger do? It charges our phones when we need it. Maybe we're not close to an outlet. Maybe we're not close to a power source, right? Yeah, that's right. So every time we come to church, we have an opportunity to kind of be reminded of who Jesus is, right? We have an opportunity to be recharged and set up and ready to go for the next week, don't we? But sometimes the week gets long, doesn't it? Sometimes by Wednesday, you might need another bit of help, right? Some more energy to get through the rest of the week. And when we read Scripture, when we pray, when we come to church and all those things, it's an opportunity for us to recharge our batteries, right? And to be reminded of the love and grace we have in Jesus Christ. And so this little portable power supply, Scripture can be looked at that way. Prayer can be looked at that way. The opportunity to fast and do all the other things that we have an opportunity to do can help do that. It can help us grow and learn, all right? Excellent, sir. Thank you very much. Who would you like to have the bag this week? All right, Franklin's got the bag this week.
Franklin.
All right, we're going to pray, and then you all can go to Children's Church, all right?
Pray.
You want to pray? All right, go ahead and pray. Amen. All right, thank y'all. Y'all go to Children's Church. Our scripture lesson this morning comes from James, chapter 1, verses 17 to 27. We're going to spend the next 5 weeks in James. We're going to go through it. It's one of our lectionary passages for the season. And we're going to, September 30th, we'll have our Children and Youth Sunday. So we'll take a quick reprieve from James during that week, and then we'll pick it up the first Sunday in October and kind of finish our time in James. But James is one of those books that people tend to either love or hate. There's really no in-between with James. Martin Luther, the founder of the Protestant movement, if you will, looked at James, and he didn't really want it in the Bible. He called it an epistle of straw. His emphasis, of course, in putting his thesis together and kind of combating the Catholic Church at the time was they were focused too much on works and not enough on faith and salvation by faith and knowing that we can be saved through our faith. And James is kind of that way. It takes a look at the works that we do. James, I think, is concerned much more with the practicality of our faith. James would say to us probably today, I'm glad you have faith. Now prove it. Do something with it. It's not enough to just merely say that you have it. And so we're going to look at what faith looks like and how we hopefully can practice it on a daily basis. And that's really what we'll kind of learn, I think, through our time in James over the next several weeks. But this morning, we want to focus on chapter 1. And so hear now God's word from James chapter 1, verses 17 to 27. Every good gift, every perfect gift, comes from above. These gifts come down from the Father, the creator of the heavenly lights, in whose character there is no change at all. He chose to give us birth by his true word, and here is the result. We are like the first crop from the harvest of everything he created. Know this, my dear brothers and sisters, everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to grow angry. This is because an angry person doesn't produce God's righteousness. Therefore, with humility, set aside all moral filth and the growth of wickedness, and welcome the word planted deep inside you, the very word that is able to save you. You must be doers of the word and not only hearers who mislead themselves. Those who hear but don't do the word are like those who look at their faces in a mirror. They look at themselves, walk away, and immediately forget what they were like. But there are those who study the perfect law, the law of freedom, and continue to do it. They don't listen and then forget, but they put it into practice in their lives. They will be blessed in whatever they do. If those who claim devotion to God don't control what they say, they mislead themselves. Their devotion is worthless. True devotion, the kind that is pure and faultless before God the Father, is this: to care for orphans and widows in their difficulties and to keep the world from contaminating us. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray together. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this day, for your love and your grace. We thank you for the reading and the hearing of this, your word. We pray that you would be with the words you have given to me. May they be yours and not mine. May they open our eyes to see, our ears to hear, our hearts to receive, our minds to understand. And may we, in the strength of the bodies you have given to us, be faithful to your call upon us. And we ask all of these things in Christ's name. Amen. As I mentioned before, James, for many people, is a difficult book in total. Verses 23 and 24 of what I've read for us today has always been of interest to me. It's always kind of confused me, and I've always wondered, why in the world does he use this imagery? What does my reflection in a mirror have to do with anything, right? He says, the people that hear and don't do are like those who look in a mirror. They forget what they look like as soon as they've gone away. And I just have a hard time grasping and kind of getting at what that might mean. I don't know about you, but I've never forgotten what I look like, right? I could pick myself out of a lineup. I have the luxury every morning of looking in the mirror. I'm like, sweet sassafras. There's this thing right here. And I have that opportunity. Not everyone has that opportunity, and I apologize. But you all are a good-looking group, so don't worry. So what's the application? What does this have to do with anything? Why in the world is it so important that we know what we look like? As we look at the rest of this passage and the rest of this book, I think it begins to maybe shed some light on what this is specifically telling us. The Word of God is central to James's message here. He uses the word four different times in verses 21 to 23, and it appears even earlier than that in the passage one other time. And then law is used two times in verse 25, and we know today that word and law are synonymous, and they reference and make us understand he's talking about the Old Testament, specifically the first five books. But he's talking about Scripture, reading Scripture, hearing it read, studying it, growing in our understanding of what it tells us. The doers of the word and the doers of the law reflect Christ. They actively grow in the image of God within themselves, and therefore, there's a sense that they can't forget. Now, we remember as we think back on the word and on the law, that one word that keeps coming up over and over and over again in the Old Testament, and that word is remember. Any of us quick to forget things from time to time? I have on my phone the Remind app. It comes with the phone, but it's worth the price of the phone. Anytime someone will come up to me on Sunday morning before or after, and they'll say, hey, Pastor, can we maybe think about this? Let me put it on that little reminder. Boom, there it is. And it'll remind me whenever I set it to do that. Remember, remember. We're so quick to forget the goodness of God and the things that he has done. And on a regular monthly basis, we have the opportunity to remember that before us as we do today with Holy Communion. To remember the things that God has done for us. To never forget. And we have to ask ourselves, do we reflect Jesus? Do we remember? I often wonder if forgetting what we look like may be what needs to happen so that we will remember. He tells us here not to forget. He tells us here not to do that. But if we forget what we look like and put that aside, I think we can begin to see what Christ looks like through us and in us. If the image of myself can fade away, then the image of Christ can come shining through. John the Baptist tells us in John 3:30, the disciples are asking about Jesus, and he says, "I must decrease so that Jesus will increase. There must be less of me so there can be more of him." And if we can forget ourselves for a moment, put ourselves to the side for the moment, there's Jesus shining through. We have the opportunity, I think James is telling us, to grow in the image of God. And this means becoming less so that Christ can become more. Anybody want to become less this morning? I'm not talking about a new diet or anything of that nature, but growing less so that Christ can grow more. I often joke that ministry tends to happen in spite of me rather than because of me, or God's able to do things when I get out of the way and let him work. And that's what I think James is alluding to here. All of this is so that we might recognize what it means to be the first crop. This idea of the first crop means bearing Jesus' image in our lives and in ourselves. It means reflecting Christ, recognizing him, seeing him. He calls himself the creator of the heavenly lights in whose character there is no change at all. He says this in verse 17, and he's talking about this brilliant light. And many of the people of that day would have worshipped various gods, and depending on how high those gods were up on the ladder, depended on how bright they shone. And the further down the ladder, the less bright they were. And he's saying here that he is the creator of the heavenly lights. That's who Jesus is. That's who the Father is. And his character doesn't change. His brilliance doesn't fade. We have the opportunity ourselves, rather, to change, that our reflection may grow a little dimmer so his may come shining through. We forget what we look like, and we begin really seeing who Jesus looks like within each and every one of us. We know that the seed must die in order for the growth of the plant to occur. And so this morning, what must die within us? What must fade into the background so that the light of Christ may come shining through? We must at times forget our own image, not be focused on who we are, or what we think things should look like, and focus on the image of Christ, focus on his ministry, on his service, on his servanthood. The old phrase that was popular when I was in high school, what would Jesus do, right? What is he doing, and how might we be a part of that? Now, this doesn't mean we forget who we are, but really I think it means we begin to find who we truly are. We look in the mirror and we see what it looks back at us in the reflection, and that's part of who we are, but it's not all of who we are. And as we continue to grow in Christ, we continue to see, looking back at us, this image of a more perfect person, of a more Christ-like person, hopefully each and every day. We begin to realize the small changes, hopefully, that are occurring on a regular basis. And we begin seeing Jesus through ourselves and through our actions. And so the natural question for us this morning becomes, what do we need to do to grow as the first crop, and what do we need to do to reflect Jesus Christ? And he gives us kind of five things here that we're going to just quickly look at. He says we need to be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry in verse 9. How many of us are quick to listen this morning? Not even the people that raised their hand are quick to listen this morning. Come on now. Right, we're not very quick to listen. We're slow to speak sometimes, except when we're not, right? Slow to become angry. I can remember in school, the teacher used to always tell us, you have two ears and one mouth. Why? Because we're supposed to listen twice as often as we speak, right? I have a rebuttal, teacher. Quiet, Seal. Yes, absolutely. Quick to listen to God, to others, to see life from their perspective, to understand why it is they do the things that they do. Slow to speak ourselves, because often when we speak, we're not listening to someone else, possibly judging, and then, of course, when we become angry, that's when the real trouble begins, because we're not going to listen to anything. Be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry. He says, humbly set aside, be humble, and set aside all moral filth and the growth of wickedness. If you can set aside the moral filth and the growth of wickedness, you're able then, in verse 21, as he says, to welcome the word. When you've moved these things out of the way, when you've gotten them out of the way, the word can begin to permeate. It can begin to sink in. We study the word, the law. We read scripture. And as we do that, we don't forget the word or the law, but we remember. How many of you know people who are able to just recite scripture? And anytime there's something comes up, they're, oh, well, such and such says this, right? And we know those people. And I used to be so impressed with those people and think, man, oh man, I want to be like that person. They just have the right answer all the time, and it's always straight out of the Bible. And I've begun to notice in ministry, just in my time so far in ministry, that when I'm studying for a sermon or a Bible study or something like that, something comes up and I'm like, well, this is kind of like such and such passage. This is kind of like James 1. And it's not that I've memorized it, but I've been spending time in it, and so I can begin to see the application. And so I want to encourage us today that studying it doesn't mean being the master of it or having it all memorized, but it means that you're beginning to see applications of it on a regular basis. I don't have near as much scripture memorized as some may think or expect, but when I'm in it and when I'm studying it, I'm like, oh yeah, that reminds me of James chapter 1. That reminds me of this book or that book. We remember, and we begin to see that application. Then it helps us to remember it even more. The third thing he says, do the word once you've heard it. Do it. This is James' main point throughout his entire book. I'm so glad that you have faith. I'm so glad that you have read the Bible. I'm so glad that you heard a sermon on this or studied something here. What are you going to do about it? I'm so glad you came to church this morning. What are you going to do about it? Right? Is it just enough to come here and sit and listen to an excellent sermon? Some of you are waiting for that excellent sermon. What are we going to do about it? It wasn't enough for God to tell us he loved us all throughout the Old Testament. He had to do something about it. And what did he do? He sent Jesus. And then he sent the Holy Spirit. And we have the advocate with us even now, helping us, the Holy Spirit, telling us what is the right thing to do. He says in verse 27, care for the orphans and the widows, right? Care for those who nobody cares about. Help those who nobody recognizes or that we tend to ignore, those that don't know Jesus, those that don't understand the church. Care for them. Help teach them. Meet them where they are and help them to understand why we do what we do. And then finally, he says, keep the world from contaminating us, right? Nobody wants a contaminated crop. Now, I'm certainly no farmer, as you all well know, but I would think that we don't want the crops contaminated. And in the same way, we don't want to be contaminated. And if we're quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry, if we humbly put aside all moral filth and growth of wickedness, if we welcome the word, if we do the word and not just hear it, if we care for the orphans and the widows, the world will not contaminate us, but we will begin to contaminate the world. We will begin to shine that light in the darkness, as we heard sung so beautifully just a moment ago. We reflect the brightness of the heavenly lights that come from our Father. Ladies and gentlemen, we have the opportunity today to reflect that light. We have the opportunity today and always to be that first prop, to recognize God's grace in our midst, and to do something about it as we continue to live and grow into the image of God that is within each and every one of us. I pray that we will allow that goodness to grow within us. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this day, for all that you do for us. We pray that you would continue to guide and lead us in all things. May your light be reflected in us. We ask all these things in Christ's name. Amen.